It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The Trump administration is moving the Federal Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services from the Department of Education to the Department of Health and Human Services. It's also shifting the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights to the Department of Justice. Education Secretary Linda McMahon said in a press release that the changes will better align federal services to strengthen academic outcomes and student protection. Disability advocates are concerned that the changes could reduce the quality of federal oversight for special education. We're checking in on what these changes mean for students with disabilities here in Wisconsin. Corey Brewer starts us off, deputy counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which has litigated several cases related to special education and civil rights. Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Can you give us a brief overview of what this Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services does and how it relates the federal government to Wisconsin when it comes to special ed?
Yes, the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services, or OSERS for short, it administers the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or the IDEA. It provides lots of formula grants for states for K-12 special ed, funds early intervention services for infants and toddlers, and it ensures states comply with federal special education laws. It actually also predates the U.S. Department of Education. So as you had mentioned, Rob, the Department of Health and Human Services is going to be taking on a growing role in supporting OSERS programs within the broader portfolio of HHS programs that serve individuals with disabilities.
This had been moved over to the Department of Education, as you mentioned, when it was created. And law requires some of it be overseen by the department, which it still will. It's kind of outsourcing the actual work, though, in this case, to the Department of Health and Human Services. The concern, Corey, is, hey, at education, you've got people who deal with education. They're specialists in this. Outsourcing it to Health and Human Services, they say, doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you see as the reasoning and the impact here?
Yeah, I think the something really important to understand is that students will retain protections under the IDEA, even though HHS is now going to be supporting the enforcement. The rights guaranteed under the IDEA remain federal law. Students with disabilities will continue to be entitled to the protections, services, procedural safeguards, and educational opportunities established by Congress. So this interagency agreement cannot repeal or diminish any of those statutory rights. Schools are still obligated to comply with the IDEA, and parents retain the ability to enforce those rights through the mechanisms provided by law. And honestly, the concerns, they should be taken seriously because students with disabilities depend on effective enforcement of federal law. At the same time, the assumption that a particular office structure is the only way to protect students is not necessarily correct. And I would also just note that many parents of students with disabilities are frustrated not by a lack of laws, but by bureaucratic delays and difficulty obtaining relief. So improving efficiency can itself be a meaningful way to protect students' rights.
Now, part of the enforcement of these laws will come from the Office of Civil Rights. That's moved over to the Department of Justice now, or at least the day job, the work, would go to the Department of Justice. What do you see when that comes to giving those parents recourse? Will they be better or worse served if this is handled in justice rather than under education?
Yeah, I think the Office for Civil Rights within the Education Department, leveraging the expertise and resources of other federal agencies, in this case, the DOJ, will provide additional legal capacity and enforcement tools. And I think monitoring this is going to be really key, because if these agreements allow complaints to be investigated more quickly, improve consistency, and ensure federal civil rights laws are enforced effectively, then they can benefit students and families. So the focus here should be on whether students receive that timely and meaningful, you know, those remedies, not which federal office happens to be handling a particular piece of the process. But the OCR has quite the workload, and I personally am glad to see this partnership.
The ideal, I guess, would be for these enforcement mechanisms not to be needed. What would you want to see from Wisconsin schools, a public-private charter, when it comes to meeting the needs of students with disabilities so that parents don't have to bring these things to federal offices?
Yeah, I will say at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, I can't share details, but we are contacted frequently by parents whose children's IEPs or individual education plans are either not being implemented or not being implemented with fidelity. And you know, there's a limit to how much parents can do to enforce those rights. They have a process, but it's often a frustrating process. So I would like to see, you know, accountability and compliance with the IDEA because some school districts are doing a fantastic job, and others, unfortunately, look a little bit different. And we want to see all students be supported. We want to see federal law be complied with. And we would love to see this interagency agreement help with the accountability, the efficiency, resolving concerns across the board to improve the experiences of students in Wisconsin with disabilities.
Corey, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Corey Brewer, Deputy Counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, with us to talk about the Trump administration shifting oversight of special education and civil rights out of the Department of Education. Now we're turning our attention to concerns that some disability advocates have about these changes and what they could mean for students here in the state. Joanne Junke is an advocacy specialist for Disability Rights Wisconsin who focuses on special education policy. Joanne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with this Office of Special Education Rehabilitative Services being switched over to the Department of Health and Human Services. What concerns do you have about that as it could affect students with disabilities in Wisconsin schools?
Well, in the context of the fact that we're 50 years now into the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, so it's still in living memory that before we had the IDEA and before we had the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitation Services, children with disabilities used to be educated within medical institutional settings or at home. And anything that moves toward medicalized segregation, such as moving to the Department of Health and Human Services, where health is the primary piece here, that's just deeply concerning. I mean, right now we've got the integration of that we are so we're so reliant on for the integrated accessible education. I mean, there's integration built into the current structure. These systems are supposed to work together to support individuals with disabilities. And when you split them across agencies, it's going to be harder for families to get help. It's going to create confusion. And we believe Disability Rights Wisconsin, it's going to slow down responses to discrimination cases even further.
As we heard from Corey Brewer, the same statutes are still in place. There'll be maybe in some cases the same people doing this work, just under a different federal umbrella. Is it possible that this could just be a bureaucratic shift that people don't really notice?
The potential impacts are perhaps not immediate. We're looking down the road here a little bit. And again, for context, there was a lawsuit in 2024 that was brought, that was objecting to some Biden-era rule changes for Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. So this is the civil rights law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability in federally funded programs. And so all the IDEA, everything about children with disabilities and a free and public, you know, right to a free appropriate public education is built into Section 504. And that lawsuit asked that Section 504 be eliminated. So this is an idea that is out there. So this concern is very real, particularly in the context that the Office of Civil Rights has already been utterly slashed. Wisconsin students used to have complaints go to a regional office in Chicago. The number of offices was cut in half. Now our region is administered out of Denver. I recently spoke with a family who had submitted an OCR complaint in November and hasn't even received acknowledgement. So the idea that, you know, in a context where the efforts have all been towards restriction and smaller and elimination, it seems a little disingenuous to claim that this is going to, you know, that is going to make things better.
Now, this Office of Civil Rights has moved now from the Department of Education to the Department of Justice. Is it possible, hey, the Department of Justice has lots of lawyers and enforcement, maybe more resources that education didn't have? Could that help address some of the concerns you have in terms of responses and action from that office?
I think that the overriding concern that we're separating the Office of Civil Rights from the office that that gives the guidance, the OSERS also, in addition to what Corey mentioned, OSERS also does policy guidance, and separating these two, I can't see any way that this would create something more efficient or effective.
What would you want to see from Wisconsin schools, regardless of what's going on at the federal level? What would you want to see from Wisconsin schools to meet the needs of students with disabilities as required under law, and so it doesn't have to be referred to the federal government for complaints?
Honestly, I'd like to see Wisconsin schools be fully funded when it comes to special education. The original idea behind the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act was that the feds were going to fund 40% and the state was going to fund 60%. And we are so desperately short on either side that I'm hearing more and more families actually say that schools are admitting outright that we just don't have the money to do this, which is a pretty big thing because they're federally required to do this. And so with schools squeezed tighter and tighter, we need to fund special education properly. We need to rebuild what has been eroding, and enable schools to do right by all of our students.
Joanne, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
That's Joanne Yonke, Advocacy Specialist for Disability Rights Wisconsin, with us today to share her concerns about the Trump administration moving the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights and Office of Special Education to other departments. Earlier, we heard from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty Deputy Counsel Corey Brewer.